The gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show, and I am once again camping amidst the Australian outback, but...
Oh, bullshit! You're sitting in a hotel.
Shush, listen to... don't spoil it.
you're camping like Disneyland camping, yeah. They don't necessarily have Wi-Fi in amongst the gum trees, so...
No, that's okay.
Look, I'm sorry to spoil your illusion, Willie. Ladies and gentlemen, to show number 132, and through the miracle of modern technology, William is 1,000 miles away and up on the coast of New South Wales. I'm down here in Melbourne, actually outside of Melbourne, down the coast. And... using the internet and our laptops and our microphones.
It's just fantastic. It's fantastic, yeah. Isn't it? I love this. It has been a rather entertaining week or so in American politics, and we just couldn't miss it, could we, Randall?
We have to do a show. We're just bursting. Absolutely bursting. All the Halloween candy that made us burst.
That sounds rather messy, Randall.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I should stop using those cleanse tablets. Yeah, but the point is that so much has been happening, and the clown car is, the wheels are falling off. Three people have said they want to hang gays. Three of the candidates now have come out to support a pastor who wants to hang gays. Marco Rubio says, look, my father and family came from Cuba, and they were good immigrants, not like these people from Mexico. And I'm going,
No, the bad Mexicans. Oh, with their tacos and everything. But the first thing I really wanted to comment on the lead up to the show, ladies and gentlemen, are the Benghazi hearings.
Benghazi!
Now, I know that... so much has happened, actually, but we had to give our little cheer squad, and this is our cheer squad. You know, we are in the tank for Bernie, but 11 hours, Hillary Clinton, this is what we give Hillary for the Benghazi hearings, ladies and gentlemen, and here it is.
Yay!
There they are, the cheer squad. They're very happy to be in a hotel now.
I wonder if she had a little inflatable donut. I mean, like 11 hours.
11 hours?
Even without the old Farmer Giles, that can hurt your butt.
I think that the inflatable donut was actually hosting on the Republican side.
That's true. Well, who doesn't like standing for 3 hours? Well, I'm sure what she doesn't like sitting for 11 hours.
Sitting for 3 hours, but she did, for 11 hours, she did a fantastic job. And, of course, what the Republicans managed to do is to give Clinton an 11-hour commercial of how unflappable she should be. And this is came off Politicus USA. Clinton, as in Hillary, the Michael Bay automaton on her way to securing the Democratic nomination, has vaulted to a huge 65% to 24% lead over Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, while Monmouth did a poll. Monmouth is the recent poll. Had not polled the Democratic race in previous survey. Another polling firm had the Iowa caucuses in a dead heat in September. A Quinnipiac poll released on September 10th had Bernie
Say
Sanders...
Say that again really fast.
Quinnipiac poll on September 10th. had Bernie Sanders leading Clinton by a slim 41-40 margin. But unfortunately for those of you like Bernie, since Biden was polling just 12% in the Iowa Quinnipiac poll, his choice not to run seems less significant than another factor that is driving Clinton's numbers forward, and that is the Benghazi hearings. It showcased.
And was this the 11th? The 11th hearing or something like that?
Oh, it's just interminable.
A dozen hearings. Yeah, what a dickhead. A bunch of idiots.
I think they are actually being organized by the Hillary for President campaign.
That's right.
Another Monmouth poll gave 88% of Iowa Democratic caucus goers a favorable impression of Hillary, with just 8% viewing her unfavorably. While there is no way to determine how much of her popularity is a result of the masterful testimony of the Benghazi hearings, her political fortunes have taken a clear turn for the better after the hearings. I've got to say, I was impressed with that. I'm not always impressed with Hillary, but I was impressed with the hearings. What did you think, Randall?
I love when she just got up and she said, look, I'm sorry I'm not saying the things that you people want me to say, but the fact of the matter is, you know, the security, you guys cut all the funding, so there were no Marines that could protect these people, and we did our best, and
something that they don't mention. And, you know, there have been three separate independent investigations looking for wrongdoing, and they have found absolutely nothing. And, of course, the former first choice to be Speaker of the House let the cat out of the bag recently when he more or less said, hey, we just did it to take down our numbers a bit. But one of the things that happened, then we had, of course, the aftermath of the Democratic debate, Randy. And
number two, the mass debate.
Now, I thought that was a very nice, we did a very nice show on that. We said, what a great debate. I mean, everybody looked good, and we thought Bernie did well. Yeah, I mean, you thought that, didn't you?
Oh, the Democratic one, but this second GOP one.
Oh, we're getting to that.
And the fallout.
Yeah. Well, the big thing that happened, according to Time magazine, is that now Hillary is saying that Bernie Sanders is against women. That because when she said in the debate is sometimes when a woman talks
what
some people
what
some
oh, that,
sometimes
oh, that's right oh.
sometimes when a woman talks some people think it's shouting. Well, according to Time magazine, Hillary sharpened her attacks against Bernie Sanders on Friday on her as her campaign gained confidence.
Oh, for criticizing goodness sake, Hillary.
Criticizing his gun control record and subtly accusing him of making a sexist remark at the recent debate, despite the fact that Bernie has said that like three times in previous announcements and in previous speeches.
He stood up for you. He stood up for you.
Absolutely.
He wasted valuable seconds in his two-minute response to say, enough with your emails. Enough with your emails. I want you to stop with the emails.
Stop with the emails, goddamn.
Fucking emails, yeah.
Yeah. You've got to realize something, Randy. The Clintons don't fight fair. Even though I like them when they're fighting other people, I'm not liking this because this is absolute shit. Now, during a sunny campaign event after the debate in Alexandria, Virginia, Clinton apparently referred to the moment in the Democratic debate when Sanders said that all the shouting in the world will not improve gun law. She said, I've been told to stop shouting about guns. Actually, I haven't been shouting, but sometimes when a woman talks, some people think it's shouting. She again That's not what he was on about. And then she used it again, the Democratic National Committee's Women's Leadership Forum. It was the first time that Clinton has implied Sanders showed sexism in the Democratic debate by remonstrating Clinton for raising her voice. But Sanders did the same thing when Governor Martin O'Malley said it during the debate. So obviously this is just an absolute bullshit job by Hillary.
She's going to try, but none of the knives are going to stick in his back. He's like a turtle. None of the knives are going to stick.
I don't know. I think this is getting kind of play. I think it's she has to do something. I think she wants to knock out Bernie in the Iowa caucuses and New Hampshire, because Iowa was looking very positive for him. Now not so much. New Hampshire, he's still in the lead, but I think that what she is trying to do is knock Bernie out in the early running, and she's making up shit to do it. Now this is. We are
talking about 95 days away, 3 months.
Oh yeah, I know. It's three months.
Yeah,
3 months. So I mean, it's early days.
A lot can happen in 3 months.
But I think we've got to take exception to what Hillary says. So to the tunes of Helen Reddy, "I Am Woman," and here it is. There it is. "I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar." That's Helen Reddy, ladies and gentlemen. You remember that?
Oh, stop shouting. A good Australian. A good Australian.
A good Australian. Now, a lot of people don't realize my companion. This is something she said in Alexandria, and this, I have to say, is bullshit. A lot of people don't realize my campaign is being built by small dollars.
Oh, yes. Oh, I just get all the change from the back of the cushions.
That's right.
Yeah, from the couch of the big banks. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, just the couch of
JP Morgan Chase. Yeah.
Look,
it's
she said,
"I couch," and there's a lot of change there. Yeah,
there's a lot of change in that fucking couch, Randy. She said, "I'm grateful for the hundreds of thousands of grassroots activists who are joining the campaign, the veteran workers, the students, the teachers, and the grandparents and parents all across the country." Well, the diggers. Yet her argument that she's running a grassroots campaign.
Yeah, well,
it's bullshit.
It is. It's.
And I'll tell you why.
Bamboo is grass too. Yeah.
Here are some facts. All right, just some facts that maybe Clinton wouldn't want you to know. Through the third fundraising quarter, Clinton raised only about 20% of her total funds from amounts under $200. Sanders, yes, meanwhile, has raised 88% of his cash from amounts under $200.
And that's while you Clinton, and me. That's you and
that's
me.
That's you and me. And while Clinton revealed Friday that she has 500,000 individual contributors to her campaign, a Sanders aide told Time that he has, in fact, 750,000. So that's absolutely. Now she's also gone after poor old Bernie for gun control. And though I disagree with Bernie on his stance on the Brady Bill, which of course he brought up in the debate. I would like to play for you something we played on a recent show, and I think it deserves to be played again. This is a 2008
encore.
This is the 2008 robocall that Clinton made, that her campaign made against Obama, because Obama was going to take away your guns. This is from the 2008 campaign. So buckle up, folks, and get ready for a little hypocrisy. Here it is, the 2008 robocall from the Clinton campaign in Pennsylvania. Here it is, Randy.
Hello, this is Hillary Clinton for president calling. Barack Obama is not telling the truth about his past position on the Second Amendment. As an Illinois state senator, he supported a ban on all handguns, and he even personally filled out a questionnaire saying he supported the ban. Now, instead of telling you the truth about that, he's trying to cover it up, saying he never saw the questionnaire, even though his handwriting was on it. And Obama voted to give millions of dollars to anti-gun organizations that are trying to take away our gun rights. This is just another example of Barack Obama saying one thing and doing another, and yet another issue John McCain will use against Obama to win in November.
This call is paid for by Hillary Clinton for President, 215-625-0329, 520 North Delaware Avenue, Suite 202, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19123.
Yes, Randy, the robocall from Pennsylvania.
I just hang
Do
up.
Do you love that?
I hang up on them. I think they're crap.
But, I mean, why? The thing is that's the thing about Hillary, is that if you look at her at the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, you look at the Keystone Pipeline, you look at her on so many issues, she has swung to the left amazingly. And Bernie's absolutely right when she sits there and he sits there and says, "Hey, I'm glad she's on board, but I was on board for a long time."
Yeah.
And she goes with the wind here. So listen, I'm playing a robocall from 2008, which basically knocks Obama for his position on guns. Now she comes out like she's God's gift to, you know, gun control.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways, Randy.
Well,
you just can't.
She's going to say, "Yeah, it just shows I'm flexible and I can reconsider my position."
You know what? I don't want anybody to be flexible now.
Okay, you want
We've
you
got
want to
too
lock them in.
Many
okay,
things.
Is that your final? Who wants to be president? Is that your answer? Okay, lock it in.
No, but all kidding aside, you know, I want somebody who can work with Senate and Congress, which I know Bernie can because he's been there for so long. But the thing is that we don't want somebody there who's going to literally tell us one thing before they get into office and do another. You know, like Barack Obama, who said he was going to get rid of Guantanamo Bay and it's still there,
yeah.
Or that he was going to go after the bankers who caused the world financial crisis and not one of them had gone to jail. Did you know that Iceland sent 72 bankers to jail
yeah.
in the last month?
Yeah.
And not one of those fuckers who completely destroyed the economy of the world, you know, during the WFC.
In Iceland, so the streets are empty. Yeah,
that's true. That's absolutely true. Listen, here's my response to I really have to, and I want to thank the HuffPost for some of the statistics here, but let's look specifically at Sanders' policies toward women. He's vowed not only to nominate Supreme Court justices to uphold Roe v. Wade, but he plans to expand women's health programs to access safe and legal abortions. Now, Clinton has been on the front with reproductive rights, but her refrain is safe, legal, and rare. And it has only served to stigmatize and justify conservative efforts to oppose legal restrictions, to oppose abortion. Because by saying it's rare, well, of course you want it to be rare, but there's no need to make that kind of judgment when it comes to abortion. On the issues of families, Sanders has often pointed out that in 178 countries worldwide, including the one we're at right now, Randy,
yeah.
the U.S. is one of the three that do not provide new mothers with paid leave. Now, he argues a Scandinavia model. And as president, he would provide workers with up to 12 weeks of family and medical leave mm-hmm. funded with a small payroll contribution.
Yeah, let me interject here.
Plus, yeah, go.
Okay. We have to declare our interest here. We come from a socialist democracy where we have 12 weeks of paid maternity leave, 6 weeks before and
yes.
6 weeks after the baby minimum. But you can negotiate
Absolutely.
More depending on your package. They're now bringing that in as
Absolutely.
Family leave for men and women. And
yes,
it's and
absolutely.
Plus daycare. I mean, a lot of these things, and everybody says, "Oh, they're going to take all our taxes. Oh, they're going to tax us." Well, guess what? If you want those kind of social services, somebody's going to have to pay for them.
You got to pay for
yeah.
them. You know, and the problem is that the lower and middle classes are getting crapped, and these the upper class, the rich, mm-hmm. Have been paying their taxes have not gone up.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at Clinton, when she's talking about family leave, she does have it as part of her platform. But last year, she talked to CNN and she says, "I don't politically think we can get it now." Well, get used to that response because you're going to get it when she gets in office.
Yeah. I
guarantee
I
she'll
it.
Say it now.
Yeah, I know I
You'll
promised
get it.
Yeah, I promised it. But
yeah, but I just can't
yeah,
do anything.
I now opened the pocketbook and all the moths came out and there's just nothing
and
there. Yeah.
And I'll tell you something, Randy. I'm sick of hearing that shit.
But everybody
I'm
says
I'm sick
that.
Of hearing during the...
They do that,
no,
they do
well,
that
you
here
know,
in Australia
the,
too, you know?
You know what? When you say everybody says that thing, well, that's why Bernie is a unique candidate. Wow. He's been saying the same thing for 10 years. Now, in terms of income, most people know that the women make only a fraction of what men earn, only 78 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
Numbers are much worse for blacks and Hispanics. And even women in labor unions who enjoy collective bargaining only make 88 cents on the dollar. So now, Sanders has said that if elected, he would sign the Paycheck Fairness Act that would end discrimination based on gender and he would increase the minimum wage to $15.
Oh, God. Look, now, that's got Phyllis Schlafly digging her own grave right now so she can spin in it because she is that.
Well, she's against fair pay for women. Clinton supports a $15 minimum, but only in her home state of New York. She's offering just $12 for everybody else. So, I mean, and finally, when you look at the TPP, which is just a screw job to the American worker, just like NAFTA was, which was supported by the Clinton administration to begin with. And the people who get screwed mostly are the low-wage majority female jobs and some of the high jobs, high-paid jobs as well. Now, Clinton has been woolly on the TPP, most likely because her husband is the world's premier trade liberalizer. He was the one responsible for NAFTA, which cost American workers over 1 million jobs.
Yep.
Folks, I like Hillary because she's plucky, and I think that she wants, but you've got to, before you sit there and vote for somebody, or before you stomach somebody sitting there calling Bernie Sanders to be misogynist,
you need to look at the
facts, and it's just bullshit. And we should be expecting more bullshit from the Hillary campaign because I take exception to that. It's absolutely wrong. She's been totally consistent, and Sanders has been totally consistent, and Clinton has not.
Yep.
What's your take on that?
Absolutely.
Randy?
And I hope they've got a security detail on young Bernie Sanders now, because
I don't know if they have yet.
I worry. I mean, everybody else has one, probably because they're either ex-governors or whatever. But I don't think Bernie has one, and I just worry. You know, somebody's going to do a Robert Kennedy on him.
Don't even say that, Randy. I don't wish that
I
on
don't,
anybody.
But I'm saying
in the
flies real economy. He takes the middle seat. You know, he's out there.
Yeah, he's Bernie. I want a glass of tea.
I'm not going to travel like a millionaire.
You know, I got to say that he's a better man than I am because I'd take business class if they'd like.
Oh, do you really?
I would.
Well, I've got.
In a minute.
You know, I paid a little extra to get an extra leg room on my next trip too. So.
That's good, you know. And now they're charging, of course, for the exit doors. You know, they're charging
first out. Yeah.
But the $150 to sit near an exit door. That's what they're charging on my plane.
Yeah.
Am I complaining too much?
Are you sitting near the exit door?
Yeah, well, no, I decided to just do an aisle seat.
Yeah.
Because I'm stingy. But you know what the perfect thing to do for a big guy like me, because I'm, you know, we're big guys.
Yeah.
And the first thing you do is you go to your doctor, which, by the way, I can go for free here. My doctor.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And I go to my doctor and I say, just give me a few of those pink pills. I don't want to get addicted like Marilyn Monroe, but just enough. And two scotches. And trust me, you don't feel a thing. It's the ideal way to travel.
Well, I don't take the pink ones. I take the little round brown ones. But anyway, I don't know. I'm just making that
up. We'll leave it to our listeners to wonder what they are.
I'm making that shit up.
Hey, Randy. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Well, listen, I was just going to go to the next segment, which, of course,
is the master
means
debate.
That we,
oh, what?
It's the GOP debate, Randy, and we have to get our Benny Hill music on. So,
yakety sax.
Here it is. Yes, they let the hounds out of the cage. Uh-huh. And it was amusing. It was just so much fun to watch. And now they're, of course, whining. Did you get it on the net the other day?
We want Bill O'Reilly to ask the questions. We don't want these liberals.
Well, I got to tell you, the questions that they gave on CNBC were just kind of, they were Barbie and shitty.
Yeah.
But you know what? Shut up. You know, I'm sick and tired of these conservatives.
They won't answer them no matter what.
they whine like, they come on like they're macho and shit, but they whine like little bitches. I mean, they had a problem with Megyn Kelly, you know, asking not nice questions.
Oh, she was on.
You
a,
know, it's like,
oh, that was Trump.
That was Trump, but now we have the entire bunch of them took off after the moderators in the debate that you know that they asked for with the moderators that they approved.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't have it both ways. So listen, this is a cut from the debate that I got. So here it is. This is some of the highlights of the Republican debate. Randy, you'll enjoy this.
Jaws 2.
Number 2. Here it is. Just when you thought it was safe. Here it is. The Republican debate. Yeah, Randy, that was the wrong clip. Sorry. I played a meeting at Trump headquarters. Look, that was actually just a bunch of chimps screaming at each other. But I happen to know now that some of the CNBC moderators did have to remove poo from their faces because there was a lot of turd tossing over there. Oh, yes.
And they're pulling their little penises in there. They're sticking their fingers up each other's bums and everything that the monkeys do. Oh, what's that?
They do. Seems like you took too many notes there. And stop talking about Rubio that way. Now, speaking of one of the things that I'm really looking forward to right now, as you know, that Jeb Bush, that's right, Jeb! Exclamation mark.
Oh, he's going to change it to a semicolon.
Yeah, Jeb or question mark.
Jeb?
Jeb?
He's got a full
Jeb.
He's got a full
think?
Colon, not a semicolon.
Yeah, it's just definitely a question mark. We're not sure about Jeb. Jeb. We got...
Jeb.
Stop it. It's Jeb. Like a mating call. We have a clip from the Republican debate where Jeb tried to get surly with Marco Rubio. Now, Marco Rubio, evidently of influential Jeb Bush billionaires, just thrown his support behind Marco Rubio. So the faucet of funds to dear old Jeb's campaign is drying up right now. So someone obviously said, Jeb, you really should attack Marco Rubio. So in these clips, you're going to find the attack against Rubio that backfired awfully, just shockingly.
Aren't they fellow
Floridians? Yeah, they are. In fact, Rubio once was Jeb Bush's kind of underling, you know, and they were very good friends, until recently.
Oh, that doesn't sound
comfortable at all. But it's they were Jeb. So anyway, listen. This Jeb. Is Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio plus some other clowns. Let's have a good time listening to a little bit from the GOP debate. Here it is, Randy.
And Mexico's going to pay for the wall because Mexico. I love the Mexican people. I respect the Mexican leaders, but the leaders are much sharper, smarter, and more cunning than our leaders. And just to finish, people say, oh, how are you going to get Mexico to pay? A politician, other than the people on this stage, I don't want to insult, a politician cannot get them to pay. I can.
And I helped him, and I expected that he would do constituent service, which means that he shows up to work. He got endorsed by the Sun Sentinel because he was the most talented guy in the field. He's a gifted politician. But Marco, when you signed up for this, this was a 6-year term, and you should be showing up to work. I mean, literally, the Senate, what is it, like a French work week? You get like 3 days where you have to show up? You can campaign or just resign and let someone else take the job. There are a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck in Florida as well. They're looking for a senator that will fight for them each and every day.
I get to respond, right?
30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Well, it's interesting. Over the last few weeks, I've listened to Jeb as he's walked around the country and said that you're modeling your campaign after John McCain. That you're going to launch a furious comeback the way he did, by fighting hard in New Hampshire and places like that, carrying your own bag at the airport. You know how many votes John McCain missed when he was carrying out that furious comeback that you're now modeling it under?
He wasn't my concern.
No, Jeb, I don't remember. Senator. Well, let me tell you, I don't remember you ever complaining about John McCain's vote record. The only reason why you're doing it now is because we're running for the same position, and someone has convinced you that attacking me is going to help you.
Well, I've been.
Here's the bottom line. I'm not. My campaign is going to be about the future of America. It's not going to be about attacking anyone else on this stage. I will continue to have tremendous admiration and respect for Governor Bush. I'm not running against Governor Bush. I'm not running against anyone on the stage. I'm running for president because there is no way we can elect Hillary Clinton to continue the policies of Barack Obama.
I think there's,
we don't need Norm laws. We don't need Hillary Clinton's price controls. For, again, does anybody out there think that giving Washington, D.C. the opportunity to run the pharmaceutical industry is a good idea? I mean, given how well they've done running the government?
Yes, in that clip, folks, you heard Donald Trump talking about how he's going to get Mexico to pay for a wall around the United States. And you heard Chris Christie saying about Hillary Clinton's prize controls. By the way, Christie should be back at home stuffing a donut in his face in the next 2 months. And Jeb Bush, who Rubio actually nailed it right. He said somebody in his campaign just said, you're going to have to take off the gloves. You know, I was listening to Driftglass and Blue Gal the other day, and Blue Gal sat there and said, you know something? He really doesn't want to be president. I think he's the laziest campaigner in the world. He just looks like, you know, someone asked him after the debate, he said, what did you think of your performance? He said, it's not a performance, I'm running for president. You know, and so he's getting tiffy with the media because his performance on the campaign trail has been absolutely woeful. This is a quote from a South Carolina Republican operative by way of Digby. Digby wrote it this week. He needed a moment to assuage donors' fears, and it backfired. As much as people may say that Bush is a hindrance, the Bush name is a hindrance, the reality is his last name is the only thing keeping him in the conversation right now. And that's so true. It's just so true. Then they went on.
Yeah.
Then the Republicans went on and called the moderators nasty and complained like a bunch of bitches. And every time, now evidently.
And left wing. The moderators.
CNBC is left wing.
But that's what they said.
Well, that's bullshit.
We've got to find somebody more moderate. Yeah.
Oh, I know. My God.
But that's what they're saying.
Oh, God. This is.
And you know what? Trump is going to get Mexico to pay for the wall, but it's probably going to get built by Mexicans anyway because that's all he employs.
That's right. Listen, this is one of my favorite Chris Christie had one. Tubbo had a good quote last night. And she said,
Krispy Kreme.
He basically said,
Chris Krispy Kreme. Yeah.
He wanted an opportunity to smack that uppity Hillary Clinton. He said, you put me on the stage with her next September, and she won't get within 10 miles of the White House. Yeah, that's because she won't be able to walk around you, you big fucking fat ass.
I want him to wear that Tweedledum baseball uniform again.
Dude, I want a picture of that. I want that picture in my yeah. Now the Ted Cruz, of course, was the one who came out and started talking about the liberal media over at CNBC, and that when you look at the people who work for CNBC, the likes of Rick Tea Party Santelli and Lawrence Kuldrow, it is absolutely hilarious to call them. And you've got to say, look, they're just a bunch of complaining bitches. Anybody ever asks a question they don't like, they whine and cry. And they're just like every other bully you've ever met, Randall. You smack them hard enough and they just whimper like a bitch. Your take on that, Randy?
Yeah. Well, I don't. They just can't take it.
No.
If you don't like the smell of cooking, pull your fat out of the fire and get out of the fucking kitchen, you douchebag.
That is absolutely.
I can't believe any of them could actually be presidential if they can't tolerate or stand the screws being put on by the media.
Yeah. Did you hear that? There was another thing about. Christie evidently was very upset going to the debate, and he again, he's a bit of a whiner. He broke the cardinal rule of Amtrak etiquette. Republican Governor Chris Christie is well known for his blunt personality, was spotted on an Amtrak train in New York following his Sunday show appearance in Washington, D.C. It's the quiet train, you know, you're supposed to be quiet, you know, turn down your mobile phone. And the presidential candidate, who is Christie, or as we like to call him,
Krispy Kreme,
was apparently animated to his phone conversation, kept repeating, this is freaking ridiculous. Seriously? Now, according to a fellow writer who wrote to Gawker, he got on the last minute yelling at his two Secret Service agents because of a seat mix-up. Obviously, they didn't rent three seats for him. Sat down immediately and started making phone calls in the quiet car. After about 10 minutes, the conductor asked him to stop and go to another car. He got up, walked out again, yelling at his Secret Service while drinking a McDonald's strawberry smoothie. Fat.
How come he gets a Secret Service detail? Is it because he's a governor?
Well, he's technically a country. Bruce Christie is technically a country. And this is coming from a fat boy. He's technically a country. And not only that, a bit of a fat bastard. So this is our little golden fat award that I'm going to give Christie because...
I'll give it to him. A big wet one.
A big wet one. This is a golden fat award for Chris Christie, unable to shut his mouth. And I'm sure he's laid a few of these. Here we go. Here it is. That's a Krispy Kreme right there for you, Randy.
Yeah.
You know, there's too much jibber.
Thank you.
There's too much jibber jabber in this show, Randy.
I can hear some in the background. I can hear some in the background, too.
Absolutely.
You tell that jibber jabber.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to go to our break. You brought in some Bill Maher.
Oh, break.
Absolutely.
Oh, aren't we going to talk? Yeah, okay. Let's
gonna
go
straight
break.
To our first break. And you got a...
Can we just... Can Pat Robertson say grace?
No, we'll do that later. We'll do that later.
Okay.
Trust me. This
Here
is our first
go.
Break. Because
Take a break.
We have to go to Randy's rant, and you've got a good one on good old Ben Carson. So we'll be back after...
Oh, lovely Ben Carson, the brain surgeon that just won't stop.
Okay, here we'll go to that in just a moment. Stay tuned, kids.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates.
Now, here comes the music.
Now, speaking of Bernie Sanders, he's the one that makes their heads explode when he talks. And for proof of that, I want to show you Donald Trump. I mentioned this in the monologue, talking about Bernie the next day.
Because this maniac that was standing on her right is giving everything away, so she's following. That's what's happening. This socialist / communist, he's going to tax you people at 90%. He's going to take everything.
I said 80%.
Okay, so this is my point, that what happens is Bernie says something, they hear something completely different. So what we did is we put up together a little video package for you. You'll hear what Bernie actually said, and then you will hear what the Republicans heard. For example, on the use of force, Bernie said...
I supported President Clinton's effort to deal with ethnic cleansing in Kosovo.
And the Republicans heard...
I will refocus our military on gardening and interpretive dance. We must aspire to the fighting style of the Iraqi army. Tear off your uniforms and run.
On American exceptionalism, Bernie said...
And I think we should look to countries like Denmark, like Sweden, and Norway, and learn from what they have accomplished.
And they heard...
I will not rest until every single American is driving a faggy little car with three tires. You will watch soccer and you will like it.
So good.
This is what Bernie actually said on guns.
Let's begin, Anderson, by understanding that Bernie Sanders has a D-minus voting record from the NRA.
And this is what they heard.
Let's begin, Anderson, by understanding that rifles are for men with small penises. Every single gun in this country should be confiscated and melted down to make Tony Awards.
They're not hearing it. They're just not hearing it. On the military, Bernie said.
When I was a young man, I strongly opposed the war in Vietnam.
And this is what the Republicans heard.
I would have loved to fight in Vietnam, but for the other side. Not only do I hate our troops, but sometimes I lock John McCain in his office, do a Vietnamese accent, and laugh.
And finally, on the war on drugs, Bernie said,
I think we have to think through this war on drugs, which has done an enormous amount of damage.
And the Republicans heard,
I majored in Sharia law at the University of Havana. And I know this. It is a moral catastrophe that we are the only major country in the world that doesn't sell marijuana to children. Black lives not only matter, they are all that matters. Die, whitey, die.
Yes, it's time for Randy's Rant. And Randy, what do you have for us today?
Oh, I'm very ranty today. Randy, oh, ranty.
Yes.
Listen, it's a really interesting situation.
Yes.
You've got three candidates running for the GOP who've never been elected to public office.
Yes.
And they are actually the three front runners.
That's right. We got Trump.
Donald Trump, Carly Fiorina, and a retired brain surgeon who apparently has been endorsing quack medicines now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Tree bark that gives you tree bark that cures your prostate cancer and gives you wood. Ben Carson. So the brain surgeon has surged, and he has actually overtaken Donald Trump.
In Iowa.
I never thought that was possible. I never thought that was possible.
Well, never underestimate the...
This guy says the most obnoxious, you know, whereas Donald Trump rants and yells and screams and spits sort of like water thrown on a hot griddle.
Yeah.
Ben Carson just sort of talks in this little woman's voice and just says the most stupid things.
Yes.
And he says stuff like, well, you know, everything God tells me to do, I will do. And I will send Air Force One to Roanoke, Virginia, and I will pick up Kim and bring her to the White House because she is a real American. Now, listen. I've got some clips of Carson and also them discussing about how the fact that he's leading Trump. But let's just listen, firstly, to 30 seconds of absolute Ben Carson stupidity.
Yes, the number one in Iowa leading candidate for the freak show, Ben Carson. And here he is in Randy's Rant.
You know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery.
A lot of people who go into prison straight, and when they come out, they're gay.
I think the likelihood of Hitler being able to accomplish his goals would have been greatly diminished if the people had been armed.
I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that.
Welcome to CBS This Morning. A brand new CBS News New York Times poll shows an important shift in the Republican presidential race. For the first time, Ben Carson is leading Donald Trump nationwide. 26% of Republican primary voters support the retired neurosurgeon. Trump has 22%. He was the leader just two weeks ago.
I'm surprised they could get Ben Carson's stupidity down to 30 seconds. I first thought the track was 30 minutes of Ben Carson's stupidity, but I guess they were able to get it down there. I think the guy, I don't know how he does it. What is it? You know, the guy's a total sociopath. He just says the most obnoxious things. And he's black. And everybody is saying, I will never vote for another black president. And they're supporting him. So where does that come from?
Unless he's crazy.
He's a brain surgeon who I think had a mirror and just did all the practice on himself. Except he forgot that the mirror was a reverse image, and he put everything back together wrong. I think.
See, I knew that we were going to be talking a bit about Ben Carson, and you know something about Ben Carson is the comedy gift that keeps on giving 24 hours a day, 7 days
and
a week,
for years to come.
For years to come.
But making him out to be like Frankenstein, like Gene Wilder from Young Frankenstein with the frizzy hair, I'm thinking, yeah, that makes sense. He is a wacky brain surgeon who has, visions of grandeur. Now, he's actually...
Can I just add one thing? Last week, I don't know if last week, retired right-wing neurosurgeon argued last week that he doesn't want to shut down the Department of Education. No. He'd prefer to turn it into an investigatory body in which would monitor our institutions of higher education for extreme political bias.
Oh, fuck.
If a Carson administration decided to disapprove of extreme political speech on university campus, the school would lose its federal funding.
Yeah, but isn't extreme right wing still extremist political views? Or
No, that's fine.
That's fine. That's only fine. The ones that go to the left that are, oh Jesus. Okay, Ben.
And I haven't heard that much fun expressed by a possible leader until I think you'd have to go back to Stalin's speeches.
I've seen a series of ads being run with young black people saying, "Everybody said Obama won because I voted for him because he was black."
Yeah.
But going by that logic, I'm certainly not going to vote for that sociopath, Ben Carson. These are going around as memes, and I'm going, yes, yes. People are not going to vote for you just because of the color of your skin, Carson.
This will be an absolute, and I'm telling you right now, this is Bill's prediction
I can't wait.
$10 for you.
Okay.
This is going to be, whether it's Hillary
$10 US or the South Pacific peso.
$10 US, wow. not that crazy Australian money with the choo-choo trains on it. I want the $10 US to you, folks, that this is going to be not just a Democratic win. This is going to be a Democratic fucking landslide.
I hope so.
There is no one on that field that isn't a fucking nitwit.
And I hope the trickle-down effect is that it trickles down into the House and they get rid of all those stupid, idiot people that are... I don't want to be Speaker because I want my family time. What's that guy's name again? The vice president?
Oh, that's Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan didn't want the speakership because no one wants it. It's a poison chalice.
But he won it by almost unanimous.
Well, he did. But you know when Boehner resigned.
You're not supposed to say that. You said I had
Boehner,
to say Boehner.
Sorry. Boehner and Boehner. When Boehner resigned, he walked into the press conference singing "Zippity Doodah, Zippity A Day." Oh my, what's a wonderful day! I mean, literally. When was it? I think they interviewed what's her name, Nancy Pelosi, and they said, "Look, I know this is terrible, and I didn't think I would be able to do this, but I feel sorry for the poor bastard because he's had to be the guy that deals with these people, and you cannot deal with them. They're insane. I mean, Ben Carson thinks the theory of evolution is the work of the devil.
Yeah, wait till you hear my rant next. Wait till you hear my rant from the next show. Let me just finish off my Ben Carson rant. This man has finally decided to use the media, and he's made a television commercial. He's made it himself. He's on camera. He's talking. And draws the stupidest metaphor of anybody. He's got a big cardboard box there. And he says, "People say I got to be more outside the box. And I'm going to put education in the box. And I'm going to put jobs in the box. And I'm going to put money in the box. But you see, I'm Ben Carson. And I'm outside the box." Anyway, play the stupid thing. I can't do it justice.
And here he is, the fascist Mr. Rogers, Ben Carson. Here we go for more comedy on Randy's Rant.
"And I'm running for president. The political class and their pundit buddies say impossible. He's too outside the box. Well, they do know impossible. Impossible to balance the budget, impossible. impossible to get border security, impossible to put aside partisanship. I'm Ben Carson. I'm running for president, and I'm very much outside the box. There must be a good idea in there somewhere. I'm Ben Carson, and I approve this message.
Show you with the box. What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
I'm Ben Carson, and I'm outside the box.
Yeah, you are.
I don't mean the euphemism box like ladies front bottom. I mean the actual cardboard box. They told me I had to be outside the box.
He's outside the box, all right. he's way outside the box. Yeah. Ben Carson is running that ad in South Carolina where everybody's sitting there going, well, my cousin Eb is outside the box, too. Yeah. My cat's outside the litter box right now. Come here.
Anyway, so Ben Carson, TV megastar.
Yes.
Trying to get elected to a public office for the first time. He just happened to have picked the biggest public office that there is.
That is absolutely true, and at a time when it seems that everybody except Jeb Bush is being considered for president of the United States. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Randy's rant.
Ben Carson takes the lead. The brain surgeon surges. Yes,
he's up there and he's ahead of Trump. So God bless. Now, was there anything else that you had for our second half there, Randy?
Well, I wanted to talk about. Your friend, your thing that you often bring up, but I did not know what the hell it was, and that's the Glass-Steagall Act of 1930.
People know about the Glass-Steagall Act?
I've actually brought together some material, and I thought I would talk about it. And so let me, is that okay if I do that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It's
this
Randy's rant.
I was going to say. So Glass-Steagall came in 82 years ago. You'd think that it would a bill that had lasted that long, but they didn't last forever because young Mr. Clinton about 20 years ago got rid of it. Now, in the deep, depressing grave of the Great Depression, these aren't my words, I'm not this lyrical. In the deep, depressing grave of the Great Depression, policymakers started looking for answers as to what bankrupted Wall Street in the great crash of October, November 1929. Now, Senator Carter Glass of Virginia and Representative Henry Steagall of Alabama worked to fixing the banking system with their Banking Act of 1933, ushered in, of course, by our Democratic Socialist friend Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yay!
Now, there are two kinds of banking, right? The kind we deal with every day is our personal banking with checking and saving. The money we put into our accounts and the interest it draws is then used to make loans to consumers or to small businesses. The second kind of banking is investment banking, which is what goes down on Wall Street. Now, corporations need to keep issuing stocks and bonds for shareholders of their company or trading securities in hope of turning a profit. So they raise capital or they sell it off or other people get a dividend, etc. Totally different from our kind of banking. Now, what happened in the Great Depression was the two types of banking became connected. People were saving their money from their checking accounts in buying shares, just like they're trying to get us to do now. Mm. Okay? Now, when Wall Street fell, the impact was felt by everyone at every bank across the entire USA. And, of course, across the entire world, small-town banks that held people's savings went broke. Customers lost their money, their homes, their farms, everything.
Right.
Now, for many years later, in the peak of economic prosperity, the banks started bitching that regulations were too stringent. We'd had an economic disaster. And we hadn't had one since the Great Depression. So Glass-Steagall came in, and in 1999, Bill Clinton got rid of it with a thing called the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, which overturned Glass-Steagall. Now, you know what happened next? 8 years later, Wall Street started taking the huge risks again, and everything turned to shit. And it wasn't that the repeal of the Glass-Steagall caused the financial meltdown. Rather, it was the general deregulation and lack of oversight of Wall Street which caused that to happen. Now, Elizabeth Warren, our good friend from Massachusetts, has decided to bring in a new 21st century Glass-Steagall Act. Even though Glass...
Yay, Elizabeth! Liz Warren!
Glass and Steagall are obviously well cold in the ground, but they're still calling this 21st century Glass-Steagall, which is bringing in, once again, the checks and balances on that second kind of banking, the investment banking. So let's have a little listen to Elizabeth Warren as she talks to the Senate about her new Glass-Steagall Act.
Here it is, Liz Warren from the great state of Massachusetts on Randy's Rant.
Madam President.
The senator from Massachusetts.
Are we in a quorum call?
Yes, we are.
I ask that the quorum call be lifted and I be permitted to speak.
Without objection.
Madam President, I rise today to speak in support of the 21st Century Glass-Steagall Act. I am honored to join Senators McCain, Cantwell, and King in introducing this bill. Washington is a partisan place, and this Congress has its share of partisan bills, but we have all joined together because we all want a more stable economy that works, not just for those at the top, but for everyone. 7 years ago, Wall Street's high-risk bets brought our economy to its knees. The Dallas Fed estimates that the total cost of the crash was $14 trillion. Millions of families lost their homes. Millions of people lost their savings. Millions of people lost their jobs. And even today, millions of hardworking, play-by-the-rules people are still struggling to survive. Over the past 7 years, we have made some real progress dialing back the risk of a future crisis. But despite that progress, the biggest banks continue to threaten the economy. The biggest banks are collectively much bigger today than they were 7 years ago. They continue to engage in dangerous, high-risk practices. And with each new headline and subsequent legal settlement, it becomes clearer that they keep chasing profits, even if it means breaking the law. The big banks weren't always allowed to take on big risks while enjoying the benefits of taxpayer guarantees. 4 years after the 1929 Wall Street crash, Congress passed the Glass-Steagall Act, which is best known for separating investment banks and their risk-taking from commercial banks that manage savings accounts, checking accounts, and offer other banking services. For 50 years, Glass-Steagall played a central role in keeping our country safe. Traditional banking stayed separate from high-risk Wall Street banking. There wasn't a single major financial crisis, and the financial sector helped contribute to a sustained, broad-based economic growth that helped build America's middle class. But the big traditional banks wanted the higher profits they could get from taking more risks. And investors in the big investment banks wanted access to the low-cost insured deposits of traditional banks. So they teamed up to try to tear down Glass-Steagall's wall. Starting in the 1980s, regulators at the Federal Reserve and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency buckled under industry pressure and began poking bigger and bigger holes in the wall between investment and commercial banking. And after 12 separate attempts, Congress repealed most of Glass-Steagall in 1999. The 21st Century Glass-Steagall Act will rebuild the wall between commercial banks and investment banks, separating traditional banks that offer savings and checking accounts and are insured by the FDIC from their riskier counterparts on Wall Street. Banks can choose: take big risks using investors' money, or be very careful using depositors' money, but no more mixing the two. The 21st Century Glass-Steagall Act also fills in the holes that regulators punched in the original Glass-Steagall, and it recognizes that the financial markets have become more complicated since the 1930s, so it covers products that did not exist when Glass-Steagall was originally passed. Now, by itself, The 21st Century Glass-Steagall Act will not end too big to fail and implicit government subsidies, but it will make financial institutions smaller and safer and move us in the right direction. By separating depository institutions from riskier activities, large financial institutions will shrink in size and won't be able to rely on FDIC insurance as a safety net for their high-risk activities. It will stop the games that these banks have played for far too long. Heads, the big banks win and take all the profits. Tails, the taxpayers lose and get stuck with the bill. Our proposal has an added benefit. It's simple. It doesn't require thousands of pages of new rules. And better still, if we rebuilt the wall between commercial banks and investment banks, we could even cut back on some of the other rules we have in place to stop big banks from taking on too much risk. If financial institutions actually have to face the consequences of their business decisions, if they can't rely on government insurance to subsidize their riskiest activities, then the investors in those institutions will have a stronger incentive to closely monitor those risks before they get out of hand and take down the entire economy. Government regulators could play a more limited role, and that's an outcome everyone should like. It's now been 7 years since the great financial crash. Most of the banks that were too big to fail in 2008 are even bigger now. Shortly after they got bailed out by the American taxpayers, these banks once again started raking in billions of dollars in profits. In fact, in 2014, they posted two of their most profitable quarters in the last 20 years. Between 2010 and 2013, median compensation for a big bank CEO was about $15 million a year, while median household income in the United States during that same period, that's income for the whole family, was barely above $50,000. The big banks and their executives have recovered handsomely from the crisis they helped create, while too many other Americans are still scraping to get by.
I love Liz Warren.
Yeah, good on you. Good on you, Betty W. Yeah, you're great.
I think she's just fantastic. And you know something? When she has talked about the securities that caused the world financial crisis, which were basically bundled securities that were basically
they were just bullshit. They were hollow value. Yeah,
they were hollow value securities, which were traded on a market with absolutely no oversight.
And no value. They had no value. They were empty mortgages and things.
Well, it's not only that. You had people like Goldman Sachs making bets on they would sell these to like countries or even towns who had retirement plans as bundled securities, and then they would bet against those securities.
Yeah.
And make money when they failed and wreck people's pension
it's
funds.
It's like future, like the futures market.
And you know,
frozen concentrated orange juice.
Can I just remind you that not one of these fuckers has gone to jail? So when people talk about...
Not like in Iceland,
No, that's right. When people talk about the bliss that is Obama, hey, I agree with Obama on a lot of things, but let me tell you something. I'm sick to death of Democratic presidents coming into line and basically not following through. And that's why we need somebody who's going to absolutely follow through. And they talk about the new regulatory stuff that they've put in. If you look very closely at what they've been doing since the new regulatory acts that they put in, they've been chipping away at it bit by bit by bit by bit. Dodd-Frank is slowly but surely being eroded, even now, by people with huge amounts of money.
Well, so, let's hope Liz and Bernie, because I think she's backing him, Liz and Bernie get on top of this.
Well, I'd be curious, since, old Hillary's in such a forgiving mood about, supporting things she used to be against, let's see what she feels about the new Glass-Steagall Act.
Yeah,
I'd like to see
21st century Glass-Steagall.
I'd right. like somebody at a debate or something like to ask her whether she's for the new Glass-Steagall Act, and I'd be very curious to see what she says.
I hope it has teeth, and I hope those teeth are sharp enough to bite off some Wall Street balls. Because
well, it will happen again. It'll happen again
unless you stop it. Now, Glass-Steagall lasted for 60 years, 66 right. years.
You cannot view these people without anything but suspicion.
Yep.
Because absolutely. When they're left to their own devices.
Oh, how altruistic is a Wall Street banker? Oh, dear.
I don't know. I only have past experience to teach me my lessons.
Okay.
And I don't think so.
Willie, we're running out of time. We really got to do our tinfoil hats now.
Tinfoil hats. Okay, we're going to go away for another Bill Maher thing, and then it's time for our tinfoil hats for show 132. Stay tuned. We'll be with you in a minute.
All these crises around the world, ISIS in Iraq and Syria taking over, and of course the war in the Middle East and what's happening in Ukraine with Putin. I noticed, since we have two people on the right here, the common thread seems to be that it's Obama's fault. And, you know, and today I saw one of his chief advisors says he believes that they are going to go for impeachment. 57% of Republicans in the latest poll say they want him impeached. I think they wanted him impeached at the inaugural ball. I think the high crime he's guilty of is getting elected. But, okay, I just want to know, what should he be doing differently? And be specific.
This president has zero respect in the world and our enemies.
Say you ruined it already, Matt. I mean, first of all, I could. There are polls of different countries around the world, because Mitt Romney said that when he was running for president, that I could show you, I don't have them with me today, I could show you that actually our standing in the world among almost all the countries is up. Since he got elected.
Except for the bad guys.
Except for the bad guys.
Did you think Vladimir Putin respects his president? I don't think so. And I think that's part of the problem. And there's a difference between...
What should Obama be doing that would make Putin respect him? Because he's already slapped all these sanctions on him.
It's called leadership.
It's called leadership. Remember when I said be specific? this is what you always... It's called leadership. Excuse my French, but what the f*** does that mean? It's called leadership.
Yes, it's the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. There's a bird talking to you on the other end.
No, that's just one of the wattle birds here. Come on, I'm okay. In the bush.
It is our tinfoil hat segment, and I have one to start with.
Yeah?
Can I start with mine?
Yeah. I love these. This is the funniest thing ever.
Well, this is along the funniest things ever. As you know, we're doing it. It's November 1st here, but quite technically it is Halloween. We thought that we'd go back to a real star who's been with us for 3 years, and God, we love him. Les, we're talking a little bit about Pat Robertson.
Now, dear Uncle Pat.
Uncle Pat, you know.
I love him, yeah.
He's the
wicked Uncle Pat, yeah.
He's the senile old guy in his jammies that annoys the mailman. And
his club called? The 700 Club or the 900 Club?
The 700 Club. And yeah. he's annoying the mailman again because basically he had a message that he gave out the other day. This was a woman named Kimberly Daniels posted a piece on Pat Robertson's CBN website, and a similar segment ran on CBN about the evil holiday of Halloween.
Oh, of course, yes. Now, they go dress up like goblins, and witches, and devils, and they go out and they worship Satan.
That's what we do.
And candy is the gateway drug for Satan.
For Satan and all his friends. So, listen, folks, for a little bit of satanic fun, here he is. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. The hardest working man in Crazy Town. It is Pat Robertson with his Halloween message. Here it is. Take it away, Pat.
Well, it used to be called All Saints' Eve. Now we know it is Halloween, and Saturday is Halloween.
And that's the day when millions of children and adults will be dressing up as devils, witches, and goblins to celebrate Satan. They don't realize that's what they're doing, but there's a woman named Yohan Burns, and she knows better than to mess with the occult.
Yeah, they just go out and worship Satan. Now, I mentioned to you, now, Willie,
I'm sorry, I mentioned to you that
a few years ago, yes. See, we don't really have Halloween here. The candy companies are trying to do it. But I think because a lot of Australian migrants came from England, where they do celebrate Halloween and where it did originate, and it's so close to Guy Fawkes Night, November 5th, that they, they do try to get it going here. But I just have to say, I remember once going to a Halloween party with my daughter at an American store that sells American food, and they decided to have a Halloween little party, and these people came and protested. And I was like, what the hell? And they were handing out leaflets saying, you know, and to my daughter, who was like, I don't know,
10 years old,
you know, about Satan, and you're worshiping Satan. Now, I mean, All Hallows Eve, because it's the day where you celebrate all of the saints on the one day. It's just that they're saying that the night before, the power of the church is at its possibly at its weakest. So restless spirits, not evil spirits, come out to play.
No, I've got to. And
people go out and go visit graves and leave flowers. The Spanish have Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, allow me to put something in, Randy, because I have the wonderful sounds of Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers in the background coming now. There they are. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to read to you the post that is, it was quickly taken off the CBN site, but this is the actual post, posted to Pat Robertson CBN site on the 29th of October. This is by a woman who, I swear to God, she needs some medication. This is Skipperly Daniels, and this is what she says, and I'll try to do it. During Halloween, time-released curses are always loosed. A time-released curse is a period that has been set aside to release demonic activity to ensnare souls in great measure. Keep going. There's a science to this. During this period,
it sounds like an Excedrin headache. I have a time release curse that's going to just pop out, and it's going to make my head turn 360 degrees, and I'm going to spew out pee soup.
There's more. During this period, demons are assigned against those who participate in the rituals and festivals. These demons are automatically drawn to the fetishes that open doors for them to come into the lives of human beings. For example, most of the candy sold during this season has been dedicated and prayed over by witches. I do not buy candy during the Halloween season, damn it! And it's not because I'm a cheap bitch.
Oh, boil, toil, and curses, hand me that Snickers.
Curses are sent through the tricks and treats of the innocent, whether they are get it by going door to door or by purchasing it from their local, market.
No, it's that candy corn. I swear.
The demons cannot tell the difference. Even the colors of Halloween, orange, brown, and dark red, are dedicated. These colors are connected to the fall of the equinox. Around the 20th or 21st of September, each year there is called a Malborn. During this season, witches are celebrating and changing the seasons from summer to fall. They give praise to the gods of demonic harvest. Halloween. Now, this is the word occult. The danger of Halloween is not the scary things we see, but the secret, wicked, cruel activities that go on behind the scenes. Now,
what asylum is this lady writing
here?
From?
She's part of the CBN network. She was posted there. These activities include, get this, sex with demons, always difficult.
I try as often as I can.
Especially if you're Kobe Bryant. Orgies between animals and humans. animal and human sacrifices, sacrificing babies to shed innocent blood, rape and molestation of adult children and babies, revel nights, and conjuring demons and casting of spells. The release of time-release curses against the innocent and the ignorant.
Oh, there's that Excedrin headache curse again.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to share my tinfoil hat to Uncle Pat, but also the cheap bitch Kimberly Daniels, who shuts out her lights and closes her blinds when poor trick-or-treaters are coming to her door just looking for a Snickers bar. What's your problem, Kimberly? You haven't got enough of the dull chick that you can't spring for a friggin' Snickers bar?
What have you got that? What are you doing to that German Shepherd, Kimberly?
Okay, that was disgraceful. All right, now guess your turn.
Guess what? My tinfoil hat is Uncle Pat.
Yay, Uncle Pat.
Look, this guy, like you say, the gift that just keeps
giving. He is.
Now, Uncle Pat has just come out with yet another, thing where he said, the gays, he just calls them the gays, yes. Homosexuals. And they have homosexual sex and anal sex. He loves saying anal sex.
I think he's unduly fascinated by the entire procedure. It's just an opening, Pat. It's just another opening.
It's the poop shoot,
Pat. Pat.
Yeah. Now he says that the gays just want to stick it to Christians. Now I wonder exactly what he means by that. Because I've had my fill of metaphors in this show.
Okay, here's the...
But he's saying Uncle Pat wants to stick it to
ladies
Christians,
and gentlemen.
And he wants to stick it to gays.
The unfortunate headline of Pat Robertson saying gays want to stick it to Christians. Here we go.
Ow!
Uncle Pat, here he is.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Will. Just breaking news.
Yes.
Breaking news.
Wind.
Walmart has just realized that they were selling a product called gun oil in their weapons area, but gun oil is actually a homosexual sex lube.
Yes, that
called gun
yeah,
oil.
That,
and I just
I
thought,
saw it on Bill
oh,
Ma-
Uncle Pat.
I saw it on Bill Maher, too. All right, here it is. Uncle Pat worried about,
sticking it
to Christians. There we go. Uncle Pat, here he is.
Believers should not be forced to do something they don't believe in. It is tyrannical to force somebody and to force them to give money and pay taxes for something they abhor. And that's what's being done. And the believers, just in freedom, we shouldn't make homosexuals pay money to something that they don't want to do. The homosexuals don't just want to be left alone. Now they want to come out and stick it to the Christians. They made it clear. And it's an organized thrust throughout this nation to force conformity. Florists, bakers. I read the other day about a judge who just said, I just don't want to perform marriages, period. Well, there's nothing that says a judge has to perform marriages. So they're trying to come after him. And we showed yesterday on this program a very distinguished fire chief who was denied his job because the mayor said, well, you don't believe in same-sex marriage, and therefore we can't have somebody of your views in public office. That's ridiculous. I mean, this used to be considered perversion. It used to be considered an abomination. The Bible says it's an abomination. The Bible says it's a sin. And these people say, not only do we want to practice our sinful ways like Sodom and Gomorrah, we're going to make you like it, and we're going to make you participate.
Uncle
now
Pat!
It's time to say good. Oh, he's great, isn't he?
I love him.
Now, I just want you to go and take out another mortgage on your house and send me all the
money to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to do that.
I'm going to say something. Uncle Pat completes me. He just completes me.
God, what was missing? What was missing, Bill?
Oh, my God. That guy's so much fun. Well, listen, we're getting to an hour full, ladies and gentlemen. A little over an hour. Yeah. So we really have to shuffle off. We don't want any jibber-jabber in this show.
Oh, no jibber-jabber. And my wife says I have to apologize for the swearing.
No, you don't. Look, well, my philosophy about this, Randy, is the fact that this is a podcast. I'm not a part of any network. I'm sitting on a table in a hotel.
Yeah, I'm sitting on a table in your beach house.
you are. And if you want to listen to this, great. If you don't, okay. You know, it's fine. I do it.
And that's just our style. I mean, even the Young Turks... what's her name dropped the C-bomb? Ivana Legover, what's her name?
Well, I don't go out of my way to do it, but sometimes
and we don't say C-bombs anymore. We just use the clown horn.
We just use the clown horn, actually. But you know, the thing is that this broadcast was always really about two guys having a beer talking about American politics, and that's all it is. Or red wine, if you're cultured like Randy. Me, I'm a beer guy.
Beer guy.
So listen, if you want to get in touch with us, by the way, we've been having a few things. And by the way, there is an extra special edition to this show today.
Did you do another interview?
Yeah, I did another interview with an absolutely fantastic folk duo that plays in the Outback here. They're called Phyllis and Trout, and we have them playing actually on the show for a little extra for anyone who wants to hang around.
Oh, terrific. Of course. That's really lovely.
We hope that you really enjoy that. It's really fantastic. These people are just so talented. I'm so happy to have talented friends.
Why don't you bring it into the main body of the show next time?
Well, I think it's different from the political end because
it can be variety. We have variety. Yeah.
But I want to give everybody a chance who just listens for the politics to because God knows there's too much jibber jabber on the show, Randy. So anyway, listen, if you want to reach us, we can be reached at thebillshow.net. Both Randy and I, send us a reaction or something. We've had contests in the past, but when I get back, we'll have another contest. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And we'd like to wave hello to all of our fans, and we do have some. Ladies and gentlemen, there is someone who's listening to us in Zaire.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. This is like a family, like four people listen to us regularly in Zaire. Whoever you are, we love you. Thank you.
Okay. We'll adopt you. We'll adopt you if you want to get in touch.
Well, not everybody in Zaire needs adoption, Randy. You know what I mean? This could be fantastic. Well,
as long as Evola's gone, that's okay.
That's it. Absolutely. So, listen, we'd like to say thanks to all of our listeners. We love you, and we love the fact that you listen. Feel free, and we'd love to hear from you. Remember, thebillshow.net. You can drop us an email there or on thebillshow on xpr@gmail.com. And soon we will have a P.O. box where you can actually send us stuff, which would be great. You know, just send us letters and stuff like that if you don't.
Oh, P.O. box. Really. That's bullshit. Nobody uses snail mail anymore, Bill.
Yeah. Well, all right.
we're more high-tech than that.
We're not. Anyway, okay. Let's give them all a good wave. Ready?
Bye, bye.
See you later, guys.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.